98 FM's Dublin Talks. Live. Weekday mornings from 10 with Adrian Kennedy.
Never miss a podcast. Just hit subscribe.
Now, yesterday on the programme, we had huge reaction when we discussed the new regulations that are now in place preventing people from going to each other's houses. And the one thing that came out of it was that people do not want to leave their parents or grandparents alone and isolated. So what is the answer? And what are the ways around it? How are you working this out in your family circle to make sure nobody is alone? I was startled with a figure that I heard earlier on, that there are 400,000 people in Ireland who live alone. Now, they're not necessarily all elderly, all sorts of ages, but 400,000 people in Ireland live in a single-person household. So how do you make sure that they're not left isolated? One suggestion that has come up today is social bubbles. Labour Senator Rebecca Moynihan is calling for the introduction of support bubbles through COVID restrictions, not just for older people, but for everyone who lives alone in this country. She says that social bubbles will make surviving the pandemic and the lockdown, if it are to happen, easier for people. For different people, it'll mean different things. It might mean you can see your partner or hug your grandchildren. It might mean you can visit your best friend or have a coffee with your sister. And I'd like to find out, do you support this idea? What have you worked out in your home to make sure we all get through this together? What conversations have you had over this whole thing of no visitors to your house? Call me right now on 6797981. You can text, WhatsApp, or send a WhatsApp voice note to 0877 98 98 98. And the lady who has raised this and gone public about it is Labour Senator Rebecca Moynihan, newly appointed senator this year. And I spoke to her a little bit earlier on and began by asking her why she's decided to speak publicly about this now.
Well, I think it was really, I think a lot of people were shocked the other evening when we saw that household visits have been banned. And this is something that I've been mulling over for a while. 400,000 people in Ireland live in single unit households. And I think the idea of another lockdown where people are completely cut off and have huge social isolation, it's causing people an awful lot of anxiety. There's other countries that have adopted this concept of a so-called social bubble. New Zealand started doing it at the very height of their lockdown, where essentially two households could decide to come together and create a bubble. It showed that it was a good way of lessening kind of social isolation while also, lessening social isolation while also not contributing to the spread of a virus. So it could be different things. So it might be two single households who are friends who decide that they're going to be each other's support bubble. It could be a family and an elderly relative who they are each other's support bubble. But it would essentially be, you know, the two or three people in your life that you are deciding to bubble with. Nobody would see anybody else. You would essentially constitute yourself as a household, and you will be the bubble that will get through this pandemic together.
Now, the idea in theory it makes a lot of sense, but how can you know that you can trust your entire bubble? So say, for example, if you have two households agree to make a bubble, but one of that household is going to the gym or whatever and isn't sticking strictly to that group or is going to work, how do you know it can be trusted?
I think you have the same situation in households. So what I have felt is very much when the government has been making the rules, it has been making it on the basis of this, you know, underlying assumption that everybody lives in a household, underlying nuclear family. And that's just not the case. 400,000 people in this country live in single unit households. And I think you have to trust people that if two people decide to come together, or a family and an elderly relative decide to come together, that they are taking all of the necessary precautions to ensure that they're not picking up COVID or not contributing to the spread of COVID, and being careful the same way that you would if you were living in a household with three people. It's the same idea and it's the same concept, but there is a loneliness epidemic that is happening because of the pandemic. And like, I first raised this or tweeted it back in September, when Level 3 first came in for Dublin. And I was contacted by so many different people saying, you know, thank you. Everybody is, you know, nobody is considering our situation in this. I can't do another lockdown again. I can't go through what I did in March. And some people have been working from home and living from home by themselves since March. And I don't think it's reasonable or fair to ask them to do that again if there is, you know, a sensible, reasonable alternative such as household bubbles that other countries have adopted that has showed that it's worked. There's really early research around this, which has said that, you know, it was a good way of decreasing loneliness and supporting people's mental health without contributing to the spread of the virus. I think this is a sensible suggestion. Other countries have done it. New Zealand, which everybody in the media lauded for their response to COVID and COVID-19, had this during the course of their lockdown. They allowed social bubbles. So I think it's a very reasonable suggestion.
Okay, now yesterday on this programme, for the first time since March, I picked up an atmosphere from the public that they're not happy with these restrictions on household visits, probably because, in fact, in a lot of cases, because they want to tend to an elderly relative, they don't want to leave their mother at home alone and so on. So there is a bit of kickback to this new regulation that bans household visits. So having some sort of a bubble system might be a solution to this. What sort of reaction have you gotten from public health officials and government ministers?
Well, I saw that NPHET were asked it yesterday and said that they were looking at it. I think the mixed messages, again, the bad communications coming from government. Michael McGrath and Stephen Donnelly were both asked about the questions of social bubbling and household visits, and I don't think that they provided very clear answers. You know, it shouldn't be that you have to be defined as being very vulnerable in order to be able to have household visits. The UK government produced guidance, very detailed guidance. I don't think we need to be as detailed as the UK did on what would constitute a social bubble. They would be exclusive bubbles as well. You wouldn't be able to swap them down. So you wouldn't be able to have, you know, one bubble on a Monday, one bubble on a Tuesday. You would just decide to come together within your bubble and stay within the bubble. And I think it's very unfair to be saying to people, you know, use your judgment if you're going to visit a lonely friend or a vulnerable person. I think there's a lot of people who don't necessarily define themselves as being very vulnerable, who won't want to break the rules, and who see very clearly household visits have been banned. We know that the virus is growing. We know that there's community transmission. We know that we need to get it down. And I think that's reasonable. But we also have to have public buy-in. And I think when we have very blunt measures such as this that don't take into account the nuance of people's lives and how people live, and when there is an easier solution and, you know, more realistic solution that's been put forward, I think when you get the kind of the waffling that we saw yesterday and the lack of clarity that we saw yesterday, you're not going to get public buy-in. You're basically telling people to use their own judgment without giving guidance on their own judgment. And it's fueled and it's driven by guilt as opposed to fueled and driven by positive things that you can do to protect your own mental health and physical health and ability to be able to, you know, not contribute to the spread of COVID or catch COVID, and social bubbles are that. It has worked in other countries. People are reading about it now. They know that it's worked in other countries, and they're like, well, why aren't we doing it here? Why can we not be clear here? Why are we having, you know, level 3 and a bit, or level 4 and minus a bit? Why can we not say to people clearly, pull yourself into a social bubble, you know, define the household, stick in that exclusively, and stay within that bubble and cut down on your contact.
Okay, so obviously you're urging the minister and the public health officials to give this serious consideration.
Absolutely, and be clear. Like, from what I picked up of listening to people yesterday, none of them thought that it was a bad idea, but they're not clear on what would, you know, what other households you would be allowed to visit. There's so many different ways that households are made up in this country. You know, it's not all based around the traditional nuclear family living in a suburban house. We have moved on very much in that, and different people have different ways of living their lives. So just be clear, say to people, pick a social bubble, have an exclusive social bubble, stay in your social bubble, but you are allowed to see people indoors from other households. I think that is it's a sensible, reasonable thing to do, and all the evidence is that it doesn't contribute to community transmission and growth of the virus.
All right, well, thank you very much indeed for joining us, Labour Senator Rebecca Moynihan. And we want to find out how you feel about this suggestion of introducing social bubbles. So you basically unite family units together. Only problem is you have to kind of agree not to see other people outside that bubble. I don't know how workable that is, but I'd love to hear from you on 6797981. Renata, you're on 98FM. How are you, Renata?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Adrian?
Have you had any thoughts on this?
I do very deep thoughts now. We, through the lockdown and through the, all of the restrictions, we did exactly as we were taught, as we were told. We did not, like, even when the pubs are opened, we did not go to the pubs. We did not go to the restaurants. We kept all to ourselves. So just this once, maybe on Sunday, we can go and see Nana outside. Like, we wouldn't even go into the house. We did absolutely everything. Now, my five-year-old, Bertie, is coming up at the Halloween. And, like, the child had really, really bad reaction to all of this lockdown and everything. And now I have to tell him that he can't have a birthday party. And he goes, "Mommy, but I see those kids every day in school. Why can't I see them in my house?" And I'm like, my heart is broken for him. There'd be no Halloween. There'd be no birthday party. Mm. There'd be no seeing Nana. Like, we agreed at the end, if the weather is good, we will go to Nana's for a cake on the outside. But that's the only kind of comfort for him. And, like, and I mean, Jeremy, we did absolutely everything we were told. The numbers were way down. We were let go a little bit and bang to the square one again. And it's just devastating. Mm. I mean, the kids, they don't have, like, you know, when we told them that this is coronavirus, we have to keep safe, we have to wash hands, we have to keep the distance. The child went completely, like, he was really bad, in a really bad way. I was talking to you some time ago and you criticized me for it. Like, why would you even say to the child this? Now we don't say it to him. We, every day he asks, we say there's zero cases. How am I supposed to explain it to him now that you can't have a birthday party when it's zero cases? If I tell him otherwise, he'll just go back to being really, really upset about it. It's just mind-blowing.
It is.
I do believe those family bubbles should be allowed.
Okay, and that's the question we're asking. I want to find out from our listeners, you know, what, like I said yesterday, I heard a lot of negativity towards this suggestion that you're not to have anyone in your household, although you can have a plumber over, but you just can't have your granny over.
That's it.
Makes
my
no
husband
sense.
Goes out to work. He has contact with at least four people. That's only if he stays in the office. If he's out in the road, he's going through the houses, like he's doing the job that he requires him going through the houses. He has contact with other people, but I am not allowed to have my mother-in-law or my sister-in-law in my house, which I know that she is not even working because she's, you know, because of the COVID, that she does not have any contact with anybody. I know that there'll be always an abusing of the system if the people, you know, let go. But most of us have common sense.
Okay, so you like the idea of,
of
family bubbles. Yeah, okay, stay there for one second. I'd like to hear from you on 6797981. You can text, you can WhatsApp, you can send a WhatsApp voice note to 0877 989898. 0877 989898. We're asking how you feel, and if you're somebody who lives alone as well, I'd love to hear from you and find out how you're feeling about the fact that you're not to have anybody visiting your home. Well, in theory, anyway. Mary, you're on 98FM. Hiya, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Now, Mary, you actually do live alone.
Yes, I live from home and I also work from home as well. With COVID, I was able to work from home since March, so I haven't even been in the office, so it was completely all by myself.
Mm-hmm. And how have you coped with that?
Well, basically, my sister is married with three kids and they live like 10 minutes walk from my house. So what we did was we treated the two households as one household. So I went and spent the weekends at her house, and during the week I worked from home, so I had the peace and quiet to get my work done on my own little privacy. But then I'd go over maybe even once during the week, and then at the weekends, and spend time with actual people. And I think that worked out really, really well, because I would have struggled just with so much being isolated. I would have really struggled with that from March to now. So I was very fortunate to have that so close to me.
Okay, which is great. So this idea of saying to people, form a bubble with another household, you like that idea. Well, that's what you've been doing, basically.
Yeah, and I think it's worked very, very well. So, because we live so close, we go to the same shop for food. So, I deal with a lot. I work in pharmaceuticals, so I deal a lot with contamination control. So it's all about making sure that, you're not introducing any additional risks, to the household.
Mm-hmm.
Because my sister has her middle child is a vulnerable child. And it's all about, making sure that you limit that as much as possible. So we're very much aware of who we're in contact with and not adding any additional people to the group.
Okay, so it has worked for you in forming this bubble with your sister's family. And for people, this is primarily aimed at I didn't realise this, the 400,000 people in Ireland live alone. I was really knocked back by that. So they need to be not on their own. Isn't that the point?
Yeah, most of my friends are actually single people who live by themselves as well. I didn't realise the number was that high.
Mm.
But I have a lot of group friends who are in the same position, and they follow the same suit, as in they pick one household to go back to, and they say that is the extension of their own home.
All right. Thank you, Mary. Best of luck. 6797981 is our telephone number. You can text, WhatsApp, or send a WhatsApp voice note to 0877-989898. And if you are somebody who lives alone, like Mary, how have you adapted, or how did you cope? Lisa, you already do this. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me what you do.
It started at the very beginning. With my in-laws. They were sort of cocooning, so I would go to them with my son, who's two, and they only saw us and we only saw them. And then with things getting worse with the cases, it's gone back to that. So I will go over to their house with my son, because my husband works full-time.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't see anyone else. They do their shopping and that's it. I do my shopping, that's it. I don't see anyone else.
Okay.
And I will continue to do it regardless of the new restriction.
Okay, so that will continue. And what age is your child?
He's only two.
All right, so he's not at school or anything with the...
No, he's not, no.
So that is working for you. So you get to see them, you know where they are, or have been, they know where you've been, so it's as safe as a house, basically.
Yeah, and to be honest, I have a long history of mental health difficulties, and like a lot of people who have them, it's been really hard with the previous lockdown and the restrictions. So I would, for my own self, I feel like I still need to see somebody outside of my husband and my son, just to keep a little bit of sanity as well, because it's so hard when it's just me and a two-year-old all day. We can't go anywhere, everything is closed, especially coming into the winter. Wet days, we can't go to the park. So just having that one, other place, two other adults that I can go and see, it's a lifesaver for me.
Okay, so this idea of bubbles within families, so having two families merging together as a bubble that you only see each other, you think that's a good idea?
I think it's a brilliant idea, and I think that it would help with the people who were so kind of angry and shocked and upset by the announcement as well. Because I was one of those people.
Like I said, we had it yesterday. We really mopped up that sort of emotion yesterday. People not at all happy.
Could still go and see their parents if that's the people they choose, or their grandparents. They just know they're able to do that, and that would really help people feel a bit calmer about the whole thing and less scared of the prospect of being on your own coming into winter.
Because it has to be a daunting prospect, and as I said, I didn't realise that 400,000 people in Ireland live in single person households. That really, really surprised me. So in theory, what we have introduced today means 400,000 people not seeing anybody, and that's scary to say the least.
it's awful to think of, and it's awful for people who maybe are trapped at home with a small baby as well, or, you know, they have a partner, with the partner's at work all day, so you're stuck at home on your own, just staring at the walls. It's a lot of people that will be on their own, you know, either all day long or from 8 o'clock till 6 p.m. just on your own at home, yeah, or with a child, a small child. It's really scary and horrible to think of that.
Yeah, absolutely, Lisa. I couldn't agree with you more. Let me go to Neil. You're on 98 FM. Neil, how are you?
Not too bad. It's finally Friday.
It is finally Friday. Yes, yes, yes. Although a weekend ahead was shag all to do. But anyway.
Well, that's it. A week full of Mondays.
Yes, that's true. Are. Anyway, Neil, what did you want to say?
No, just the idea behind all this, there's got to be a balance. Like Lisa was just saying, the reason we're not in level 5 lockdown, okay, there's the economy to deal with, but there's also, if we were to lock down level 5 right now, let's phrase this correctly, we're murdering a lot of people with mental health issues. Mm. That's what we're doing. So that's got to be avoided. All of this comes down to our own behavior. I don't want, my old lad lives by himself, my ma lives by herself. I don't want them to be stuck by themselves all the time. They've done their work. They should be out, socializing with people, but they can't. Mm. They're taking it seriously. I'm doing the same with my family. I'm the only one who goes to Tesco because people are getting too close and forgetting about social distancing and things like that. It's easier for me to turn around and tell someone to move back than the missus. You know, that can cause a problem. We need to take care of this problem ourselves. We need to socially distance, wear masks, all of this sort of stuff. I know people are over it. It's not easy for anybody. You're having a tough time. Lisa's having a tough time. I'm having a tough time. And parents everywhere and grandparents everywhere are having a tough time. It's not easy on anybody. But we have to work together to get this thing sorted.
Absolutely. I agree with you. However, as we said, the new restrictions in place today theoretically mean that you can't have anybody in your home. No visitors to your home at all. Realistically, I just don't believe that that's going to happen to a great extent. I really don't. And the theory of being able to merge two households so you form a bubble and they can come to your house and you can go to their house actually makes a little bit of sense, does it not?
Well, look, you know, let's say you and I start a bubble, right? You don't know what I've picked up in Tesco. You don't know what I have. I haven't been tested. That's what it comes down to. Yeah, like, you know, everyone else in my house has been tested. I haven't. So I may be contagious, and then I'm going into your house for a social bubble. It'll be nice, but it's not sensible, and that's the issue. It's personal responsibility.
Right.
You know?
So you would rather the 400,000 people who live alone be left alone?
I would rather not. I would rather we all copped on earlier on in this process so we wouldn't have to do that. So we wouldn't have to, like, I'm living in Bray. My dad lives in Dublin. Technically, I'm not supposed to cross the border, so I don't. So he's now got a Zoom relationship with his grandkids, which is horrific. But that all comes down to people not taking heed of things. They're blaming other people. Look, people are flying in and out or whatever. Personal responsibility is what
matters, absolutely. All right, stay there for one second, Neil. Just before the break, I want you to send me a short WhatsApp voice note. 20 seconds max, 30 seconds if you're really a lot to say. And I want to find out, what arrangements are you putting in place for elderly parents or grandparents over the coming weeks? Will you just not see them anymore? Or do you intend to continue to see them? Send me a WhatsApp voice note to 0877 98 98 98. We've been told not to have visitors to our homes, and I want to find out whether or not you're going to go along with that. And when it comes to elderly parents or grandparents, what is your plan going forward? Send me a WhatsApp voice note right now to 0877 98 98 98. Angela, you're on 98 FM. Hi, Angela.
Hi, how are you?
Now, your situation is somewhat unique. Tell me what you live with.
Well, I have a condition called contamination OCD, which I've had for a number of years now. And in general, pre-pandemic, I would have, you know, operated to some degree socially, and had, you know, kept up somewhat of a normal-ish life. But since the pandemic arrived, that's completely changed for me.
So describe contamination OCD to me.
So contamination OCD is a form. There are lots of different forms of OCD, and contamination OCD is one type. I would be overly fixated on the idea of being contaminated by, you know, bugs, viruses, bacteria, that kind of thing. So typically people might have seen this in, you know, like films, like As Good As You Get, you know, where you don't want to touch door handles and you're, you know, frightened of cutlery and eating in public and that kind of thing. You know, it's a fixation on that kind of thing.
Okay, so add a world pandemic on top of this, and that has had to have made your life extremely difficult over the last few months.
It has, it has. I became aware of COVID back in January, and by February I was wearing a mask in public and I was pretty much cocooning at that time.
I was
literally laughed at in public. People would point at me because I had a mask on in early February. And but I kind of, because I know too much about virology and that kind of thing, I knew that the likelihood that COVID was airborne or that there was aerosolization was very, very probable. And so I started taking precautions back then.
Okay, so what has life been like for you with contamination OCD since February?
Incredibly isolating. I mean, I haven't had a hug. I've had one hug in 8 months. And I don't interact, even with family. Nobody comes into my house.
And do you live alone?
I live alone.
Right. Yeah. So you've pretty much cocooned since last February?
Pretty much, yeah. And I'm 37 years of age. So at this point in my life, I'm aware of the fact that I should be interacting a lot and, you know, doing all the other things that 37-year-olds do. So to be living like this, I'm extremely aware of just how isolated I am.
Mm.
Yeah.
So in terms of, like, surviving, do you go out?
I do go out. I walk every day. It's an anxious walk because anytime, you know, I come close to people, it triggers quite a lot of anxiety, but thankfully I'm still managing to do that. And I go out and I collect groceries and stuff from Click and Collect. And so I do leave the house.
Okay, but you won't walk around the supermarket, will you?
I absolutely hate the idea of having to walk. I've had to do it at times, but it absolutely drains me because I'm so anxious, so anxious.
So with this virus not only not going away, but actually spreading more rampantly at this minute, is that adding to your anxiety?
I mean, look, I had essentially had a breakdown in February. I had
really? Over this?
Over this, yeah. Back in February when we were unsure about the mortality rate, we didn't know, you know, how this was going to affect us. I had a breakdown and received extra support. And since then, have managed to build myself up and come to a more calmer position. But I'm still incredibly anxious and very nervous about kind of falling off that cliff edge again of becoming, you know, being in a place of high, you know, a lot of cortisol running through my system and adrenaline and just being extremely, you know, anxious without any respite. So I'm always nervous of that happening.
Okay, so hearing, you know, talk from page one of the newspapers today, level 5 for 6 weeks, does that add to your anxiety? Is it not really going to change your life that much because that's the life you're leading anyhow?
Well, I mean, I can look at this from a personal level or I can look at it from a public point of view, and I completely understand why people are totally fed up. I feel at the moment, I think the government made a massive mistake in not introducing a sharp breaker a couple of weeks ago, because I'm probably the most rational, irrational person you'd meet. Mm. I'm pretty good at predicting how this is going to play out. And that was a big mistake on their part. They're not really considering the cons of staying where we are versus the cons of locking down completely. Like, above anybody else, I know how this affects us mentally, you know, mental health.
wise.
I know, but it, you know, to move to a level 5 sort of lockdown means hundreds of thousands of people back out of work again.
Yeah.
That has a detrimental effect on people's mental health and on the detrimental effect on the economy.
Yeah, no, it does. And I understand that this is a juggling act. This is trying to...
And that's why I think at that moment in time, the government didn't move to level 5 because of that juggling act.
That's exactly why they didn't. The problem is that we hear things like, there are buzz phrases at the moment. We hear things like, well, there are going to be more deaths via suicide than there would be, you know, via COVID if we let it run free. But there's no way of predicting that. I think that Irish people, or people in general, we're more resilient than we think we are. And I'm not sure that there would be more deaths via mental health issues than there would be. But then again, that's speculation. I could be wrong about that. I could be wrong.
Okay, so you believe, and indeed to help your contamination OCD, this virus needs to go away, basically. And we're nowhere near that happening.
To have any opportunity of recovering, I would need to go away so that I could engage in something like cognitive behavioural therapy in a safe way, right? But I can't do that at the moment. If I'd had a crystal ball and I realised that this was going to happen, I probably would have made attempts to tackle my OCD more.
Before the onset of all this.
I would have been more proactive in, you know, cognitive behavioural therapy, for instance, is just one form of trying to... OCD is extremely difficult to treat. But, who on earth could have predicted this? This is insane.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Angela, look, I really appreciate your honesty in sharing that with us. And it's something I'd never heard of before, contamination OCD. I know some people who are, you know, very conscious of germs and stuff like that, but I've never heard of contamination OCD. So it's been fascinating from that point of view. And I wish you well, and thanks very much indeed for talking to us.
Thanks very much.
All right, thank you. All right, there you go. That's Angela. Now, let's bring in some of your WhatsApps. We're talking about the fact that we're not meant to have people in our houses, and 400,000 people live alone. They could be your elderly parents or grandparents. What are you doing, or what are you going to do? Daniel sent me this.
You know, I don't really see the bubble thing really working, because the majority of households have more than one other household they, you know, potentially would need to go to. Like my household, I would be going to my partner's house. She lives at home with her parents and her son. And I'd need to see them. My mother will need to go and see her parents. My father would need to go and see his parents. So that's three different households. Then my girlfriend's household is the same. Her mother and her father would need to go and see their parents and take care of their parents. So that's like eight households. Or do you know what I mean? And her brother will have to go and see his girlfriend. So like it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's basically the same, but you're just saying, oh, I'm in a bubble, but you're not really. Like, you still have other places to go and you still have other people to care for. It's not just one household. What are you supposed to say? All right, so we're just going to stick with my grandmother's house, but we're going to ignore my other grandmother. Like, how does that work?
That's the theory, that you decide with what family you want to form a bubble. I get exactly what you're saying, Daniel. Michael sent me this.
Morning, Adrian, it's Mick. I actually went down to see my old parents last night for the last time for now, probably the next 3 or 4 weeks. So I'm going to stick by the rails as long as everybody else does.
All right, Michael. Shelley,
we actually live in my mum's house, myself, my husband and my 4 kids. And just before the first lockdown happened, my mum went to stay with my granddad and has been locked down since. So my mum hasn't been home to her own house. She's come home maybe for 2 nights here and there, but not properly. So our plan is obviously going to be my mum staying with my granddad. My granddad is nearly 90 and he is, like, he's fine, but he's missing his grandkids and his great-grandkids. He hasn't seen my kids in 2 weeks. It's now going to be 6 weeks before he sees them. So, like, I wish people would just cop on, let us get this lockdown over so we can have a decent Christmas.
All right. Elaine sent me this message.
Hi, Adrian. since the kids have gone back to school, I have just been visiting my parents from the gate. I'm lucky enough to live just around the corner from them that I can go and see them most days, but we are not going into the house just to be on the safe side. So we'll probably just continue to still keep doing that.
All right, Elaine, thanks very much indeed. Vicky's mum is in the vulnerable category.
Hi, Adrian, Vicky here. My mother is a vulnerable person. She has struggled a lot during the initial lockdown. She was in her own house for 10 weeks. The thoughts of another lockdown and not seeing us is causing her so much stress and anxiety that we will continue to see her. She will only come into my house. She won't go into my other sister's houses. She'll spend time here every couple of days a week, but we will not be leaving her on her own again.
All right, that answers that quite clearly. Kira.
Hi, Adrian. Yeah, it depends on my own mother. If she wants me to come into the house, I won't. If she doesn't want me to come into the house, I won't go in. I'll probably just visit and stay outside if, she doesn't want me to come in. But I'm not going to stop completely seeing people. I think that's a joke. And myself and my sister are just going to meet up as normal in each other's houses. And I'm not going to be overly doing anything else. But I do think the madness has to stop somewhere. Thanks.
All right. This is from another Kira.
Hi, Adrian. My grandparents are both in their 70s and I will continue to go and see them. But like that, I'll be careful that I'm not in contact with really anybody else, only my main family and really, really close friends. And besides, my parents' house is only 3 doors down from my nana and granddad's.
All right, now Val sent me this message, still going to go and visit.
It's like this for me, Adrian, right? My Manda had this COVID virus in March. They survived, thank God. I'm not keeping away from them because life is too short. They're both 72. And I will visit them every day. I know my bubble, I know their bubble. And I'm not just going to put my man there into a depression mode of not being able to see their family.
All right, Tara hasn't seen her dad since February.
Hi, Adrian, it's Tara here. I actually haven't seen my dad since the end of February. We are Dublin season ticket supporters, season ticket holders, and my dad lives in Belfast. And normally, this time of the year, he would have been down with us pretty much for the whole summer with the football. I'm just holding tight, hoping that myself, my kids and all, we can get to see him come Christmas, if everybody can just stick together and get through this COVID. But to be honest, I'm not very hopeful. So, look, what can you do? Other thing is, Adrian, with the way we're talking about the jerseys this morning, I have to be honest, I don't particularly like the new Dublin jersey. For 5 in a row champions, I don't think it's adequate enough. But sure, hey, that's just my opinion. Love the show. Thanks.
Thank you, Tara. Karen sent me this.
Morning. So I'm living on my own, and for the next 4 weeks, I will continue to follow guidelines. I won't have anybody into my house. I won't go to anybody else's house. Yes, it's hard, but the numbers are crazy at the minute, and I just think for any chance of having a normal Christmas, we need to pull it back now. As for older people being on their own, you can visit them on compassionate grounds. So it's not a point blank, you cannot visit an older person has to stay by themselves. But I do think, like, we all just need to pull together now at this stage.
All right, Karen, thank you very much indeed. Interesting query here from Richie.
How's it going, lads? Just a question. I'm a healthcare worker and I go house to house to make sure the elderly have everything. I'm just wondering, like, nobody's allowed in other people's houses, but I go to everyone's houses and I go to, like, say, there's somebody in the elderly person's house, then I go off to another one and there's someone else there, and I'm going to be using my masks, my gloves, my hand sanitizer, the same stuff that people are going to be using going in to see their family. So what's the difference between me and a family member going in to see a family member? Doesn't make any sense. It's all backwards.
All right, Richie, thanks very much indeed. And a lot of grandparents can relate to this. This is Margaret.
Hi, Adrian. It's Margaret here. I am not going to stop seeing my granddaughter. I missed the first 3 months of our life. I'm not missing anymore. Thank you.
98 FM's Dublin Talks. Live. Weekday mornings from 10 with Adrian Kennedy.
Never miss a podcast. Just hit subscribe.